Today's podcast is brought to you by WorkLlama, a comprehensive talent community platform that helps companies engage candidates, employees, and clients with branded, personalized, and meaningful experiences. We appreciate their support and shared dedication to creating a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplace. Learn more at WorkLlama.com. On this episode of The Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Sunny Ackerman, President of the Americas at S3. Leslie and Sunny discuss the organization's ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, why she's learned to embrace the plot twists, and how there isn't an age restriction for learning from others. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery. I am the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I am welcoming Sunny Ackerman, the president of the Americas for S3. Sunny, welcome to the Edge podcast.
Thank you, Leslie. So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, you started your staffing industry journey right out of school, and you've got many, many accolades, including Staffing Industry Analyst Global Power 150 Women in Staffing list several times and 40 under 40. You've held some of the most senior roles in our industry, including, and this is a big one, management of operations, sales, and service delivery for Manpower Group's largest North American business unit. You had $1.5 billion in revenue, 498 to be exact. Maybe that number was a little different, but that's what I have in my notes. Branches and on-site operations. You had 1,200 employees and 45,000 associates on assignment daily. 45,000 associates on assignment daily. Just to reiterate, that was a big role. One could say, Sunny, that you made it at that point, but then you went on to become president at two companies, including your current role with S3. Our paths actually crossed during stints at Spherion, which is where I got my start in the industry, and I am incredibly honored to have you as our guest today. I'm going to start with a quick question because I'm not sure everyone is familiar with S3. So before we dive into your background, maybe share a little bit about the actual company.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leslie. S3 is the world's only pure play STEM staffing specialist, is how I describe our organization. We place contract and permanent talent across IT, engineering, and in the life sciences sector. We operate today in 15 countries. We're a global organization, publicly traded on the London Stock Exchange, and we're poised for greater growth, which is, I think, the largest part of my role. Right now, we are in the U.S., managing a book of business around $350 million, representing about 25% of the company's GP worldwide. And we had a really successful H1. We just announced earnings last week, and our results in the U.S. were 23% growth year over year, leaving us poised to secure even more desired market share. And then lastly, we really look to better the lives of communities we serve and touch. It's really evident, I would say, in our ESG efforts. And last year alone, we positively impacted over 16,000 individuals in the first half of the year. So that's a little bit about S3. Really excited to be here, join the organization in February.
Excellent. Well, clearly, based on your background and how you scaled Manpower Group's company, you are certainly in a perfect position to take S3 to the next level. Let's talk about that for a minute, because I know you and I had chatted quite a bit before taking that role and looking at other opportunities. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to take this position? And you mentioned one thing, which was the opportunity for growth, but what excites you the most about the company and the role? And perhaps maybe share for those listening who maybe don't know you now, you've shared a little bit about the company, kind of your journey and where you landed, and then what excited you kind of looking at this next stage of your career to take this role?
Yeah, so I started in the industry like many of us out of university, kind of fell into the industry, if you will, started working for an organization at the time called Interim Personnel that merged with a company called Norrell Staffing. We became Spherion and worked with them for the first 8 years out of university and really loved the work. I felt an incredible amount of purpose in the work that we were doing in terms of helping people, you know, find careers, develop jobs, develop skills. And so it's been an industry that I've been in my entire career. What excites me the most is really, I think, having an impact, and not only the work that we do, but the type of individuals we work with day in and day out, having impact in terms of helping, again, individuals find career opportunities and the clients that we're helping solve issues. My days are incredibly exciting here at S3. I'm incredibly grateful to step into this role heading up the Americas. And I couldn't ignore the opportunity to lead a great company with a really high performing group of individuals. And I think we have a very unique market position in STEM and STEM recruitment. It's been a really fantastic 5 months here. Couldn't be more excited and honored to step into the role and really help develop and lead the organization to our next phase of growth, which is, you know, really focused globally, but in the Americas for the organization, it's a big market for STEM recruitment. So we have a lot of opportunity to really scale the business further.
Excellent. And thinking back to the interim and Narelle merger days, and that's really where I kind of cut my teeth on the industry as well. And so fun to look at all of the leaders and executives who have come out of the different staffing pockets and hear about your journeys and so forth. As you look back on your career, Sunny, what is one thing that you wish someone would have told you that would have been really helpful to you as you continued to accelerate and take on leading roles? Anything you would have changed in hindsight?
Yeah, there's quite a bit I would change. First, I think there's so many benefits that accompany disappointment that you often can really only recognize once you're clear that you're on the other side. And I think that's especially the case early on in your career. Coming up, I was very ambitious. I would say I'm still fairly ambitious, but being told no or having to delay expectations was incredibly frustrating for me early on in my career. So I no longer look at kind of perceived or unintended outcomes as failure. I try to look at taking it as a necessary process to get all that I can get from experience and making sometimes the win even more beautiful. I think just ultimately learning to be uncomfortable or be comfortable with being uncomfortable and with that unplanned change, both personally and professionally, which is something I've gone through the past couple of years in my career and also in my personal life. So, you know, how does the saying go? Man makes a plan, or I like to say woman makes a plan and God laughs. So I'm a natural planner. So that statement can be a bit scary to many, very scary to me.
Right.
But I found that the plot twist really kind of keep me agile and prepared to take on the unexpected, which is something I've tried to learn to embrace. It's a practice every day, but I think that's an important piece.
Yeah, there's so much we can plan for and just a lot we cannot plan for. So learning to kind of let go of that control and learn and grow from it is pretty important. But you're right. It sometimes, even if we would have known it, you've got to go through those experiences to learn it. Yeah. And now those up-and-comers listening to you, clearly some will relate to it directly and then others will benefit from that experience. When I think of S3, Sunny, one of the interesting and exciting things to me is really that you all are in a very, very strong diversity position where women make up nearly 40% of your senior leadership team and 50% of non-executive directors and over 50% of your global business. And I remember reading where you said it's not just the women that win here, the company does too, as this diversity of thought allows for a broader range of voices, experiences, and ideas to be heard. I know I talk about the statistic a lot, but just to compare what a strong position you all are in a recent Women Business Collaborative study specific to the staffing industry, 48% of women employees made up entry-level positions. So nearly 50% of the entry-level. But as you rise up the ranks, those numbers dramatically decreased. Layer on top of that women of color and the numbers are even less. So for example, 21% of women are in the C-suite with only 4% representing women of color. Go back to where you are, let's say it's 21% in the industry, you're at 40% of your senior leadership team and half non-executive directors. It's truly incredible. I have to imagine, Sunny, that played some form of a role in your decision, just knowing their strength and diversity and the importance of it. What stood out to you as how they have accomplished these DE&I numbers? And speaking to that, what are you focused on today to continue that trend?
It's an impressive objective that the organization's put in place several years prior to me starting. And it was definitely something when I was looking at the organization and going process, it was quite impressive to me. Not only where they stood when I was interviewing, but also when I came into the organization and the ongoing commitment and discussion around the topic is something that is really, really important in the organization that we are always looking at. It's something that's been extremely important to me. I've been a lifelong advocate for closing the gender gap, you know, not only in the technology sector, but our industry in general. And we've looked at refreshing and relaunching kind of DE&I strategy. And we are really working to be recognized as the leader in the industry, not only for the internal efforts that we are doing as a business, but also the impact we can make on the industry that we serve, I think is really important as well. And so when we look at, you know, our overall kind of ESG plan, we do aspire to increase gender representation at all levels. We've worked really hard the past year to develop really broad employment resource groups. It's an integral component of our commitment to help drive change and diversity and inclusion. And we've introduced several employee-led resource groups. And it really started last year during the pandemic as a place to kind of share and explore solutions to concerns that were impacting many groups within the organization. And I personally had my firsthand experience with the power of an ERG. I started and led the Women's ERG while at Manpower Group, ultimately growing it to over 1,000 members worldwide. But I think we understand it's vital to the ability for our organization to grow and innovate. And it's something that is, like I said, top of mind and all of our discussions as a business, from the leadership team all the way down to the director and management level. It's an important part of our overall business objectives and something we continue to advance and be a part of.
It's interesting you mentioned all levels of the company. Clearly, it has to start at the top with dedication, budgets, part of the business plan, really looking at what it means to the company. Oftentimes where the rubber hits the road is really at that mid-level management, where there starts to be some pushback on it a little bit, with people fearing for their own jobs and what will happen. So it sounds like one of the things that you've been able to crack the code on is getting everyone's buy-in at all levels to understand the importance of it, which is really great. That's a key lesson that people can walk away thinking about as they look at their own company. Is there a rung on the ladder, so to speak, where people aren't in support of it? And what can we do to fix that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've talked, Sunny, a lot about the importance of using your voice to create more seats and spaces for women in the future. Specifically, if you can't get a seat at the table, then you create your own table. DeLibra Wesley, who I know we both know very well.
Yes, love DeLibra.
Oh my gosh, love her so much. She recently said something similar when launching her own company. She said, instead of trying to fight for a piece of the pie, I decided to make my own pie, which I love. So tell us a little bit. You've got a program, an external program that you're part of called Breaking the Glass. What else are you doing to keep equality on the agenda? So tell us a little bit about that program and what you're up to.
Yeah, it's an incredible program, incredible platform that three individuals started in the organization several years ago. It's just an idea to create this platform to really help address the gender disparity in tech, but also connect more women in tech and their allies through these different kind of networking programs hosted in partnership with lots of other major tech companies. The original founders and developers of this, Elizabeth Lamb and Nita Jang, had this idea and really brought it to life and have done an incredible job in really taking the platform and using the platform to help the entire tech industry not only attract, retain, but promote more women. Last year alone, the group, I just had a debriefing session last week with Elizabeth, and we were talking about really our 2021 planning. But last year alone, we had 27 different virtual events, close to 2,500 different registrants across partners like Dell, IBM, and Walmart. Some really major companies. And we have a lot of other small to mid-sized companies too that see this as a definite area where they would like more education and awareness around and really know it's an important piece of the business strategy. So we want to make sure that we, as leaders, kind of set the standard and really ensure that we talk about this as our business and really look at, you know, elevating this through this platform has been a very powerful thing for our organization. Again, to start the conversation, but to bring other people along in the story to really tell how other organizations are doing this effectively and maybe not so effectively, because we also learn from sometimes those mistakes. Hey, we tried this, this didn't work. But it's, again, creating that conversation and space to really look to address that gender disparity. And one of the things that we're looking at right now, interestingly enough, with this platform, we started it with women in tech, is now taking it across, you know, women in engineering and women in the life sciences sector. So other sectors where we definitely have underrepresentation, specifically with women, and really creating this platform to connect more organizations and individuals around this topic. So we're really excited about it. Really excited to take it further through the business and really make it a very interesting platform for organizations to be a part of.
Well, I love that you're so passionate about it, but also that you all are focused on internally and also externally. So looking at how you can help the industry you love so much make a big difference speaks volumes overall to the agenda that you're trying to accomplish as a company. I want to talk a minute, Sunny, about voice. I mentioned it a second ago, and I remember you telling me that you were often the only female executive or one of a few women in the room when it came to important meetings. So we could say leadership or executive meetings. And sometimes, especially if you're in a early stage of your career in a leadership position, it can be difficult to find your voice. What would you say to people listening based on your experience that you took away from it that perhaps others would benefit from hearing as they maybe find themselves in similar situations?
It's interesting. I would say you start to find your voice as you sometimes gain more confidence in the role that you're in, whether you're an individual contributor, you start maybe managing larger teams and having to participate in more different projects or groups. You definitely begin to find your voice. I've always admired women that would come in immediately and have that very strong stance and voice. I would say early on in my career, I didn't. I probably observed more and watched other people and started to, you know, find that through those discussions, I felt like I had an opinion. I had a strong view on things. And I had the experience to be able to get there. I always say, and I'm a big believer of this, is never underestimate the power of women supporting other women, not only in the workplace, but just in life in general. I think advocating for others, you know, you're helping get their point across, but in turn, you're teaching others to make sure voices are always heard in the business setting. There's still not enough of us at the top levels, but it's imperative those that are, that they use their voices to create more seats and spaces for women in the future. And it's just not women who need to support women. It's everyone should be striving to be an ally is a really important piece of the discussion. And I think, Leslie, you've been a part of that. And I think every organization and groups are looking at this. And I think it's an important piece. And lastly, I'll end with one of my favorite quotes, a little bit controversial, but it's, you know, one of my favorites. It's a special place in hell for women who do not help other women by Madeleine Albright. And I do believe that sometimes. And so I think if you're at a point in your career where you're able to get that seat at the table or create your own table, it's imperative that you use your voice and you help others along the way as well. I'm a big believer of that.
It really just does not make sense why women would not support other women. I don't understand it. I will never understand it. But certainly many of us have run into that situation. And again, the more you surround yourself with women who are willing to rise you up and help you, it just makes such a world of difference. I often share a story about Robin Mee early in my career as a CEO and watching her kind of step in and take over a conversation to help me out in a really uncomfortable situation. I remember just being in awe of her voice and just how she jumped in and used it on my behalf. And I remember thinking very clearly in that moment, one, I have a voice and need to be more confident to use it. And two, I need to pay that back to all of the women around me and people in general, just to make sure that the disenfranchised or anyone really isn't in that position and that you can be their voice, especially women, for other women. So I love the quote. Thank you for sharing it. Speaking of that, sometimes a big piece of it is surrounding yourself with mentors or sponsors. I've been extraordinarily fortunate to have really wonderful leaders throughout my career and mentors and sponsors. So when it comes to finding them or even just keeping up, Sunny, I know you and I have kept up from a networking standpoint. Women often struggle with that, however, compared to their male counterparts. Perhaps you could just share with us a little bit about the role of mentors and sponsors in your life, and how do you pay it forward with up-and-comers who want to learn from you?
I've had a good deal of experience, I would say, with mentors and sponsors throughout my career, both women and men. I think informally, more than formal, mentorships and sponsorship programs, they've been very informal, where people just, you know, said, hey, I want to really help you. Or I reached out and said, hey, I'd love to take you out for coffee, lunch, get to know more about you. Here's what I'm dealing with. And so I think it's important that you ask for it, even if there's not an informal kind of program within your organization, that you seek people out among the business, maybe in different areas of your business, maybe not directly the person that you would think of immediately that you're aspired to, but maybe somebody in a different department, a different group, because you can learn a lot from other people within the business. In terms of paying it forward, the simple answer is to give back. I mean, it's something, again, I'm fairly passionate about. I want to make sure I'm committing my time and investing in the people that I work around, but also people that are coming along the way. As I said, there was definitely many sponsors and mentors informally that were influential throughout my career that gave me the time and direct interaction, kind of observation. I've learned a great deal from others' experience, and I continue to gain that knowledge today. Is something, even in the role I'm in today, I continue to seek people around me that are in different levels of experience within different companies. The cycle of learning and giving doesn't have an expiration date. I think related to where we are in our career or our age, and there isn't an age restriction on learning from others. And so I think we all have to be open throughout our career based on those things. And just making sure that, again, if you're at a point in your career and you're advancing your career, is just paying it forward. And you know, make sure, again, as you're working with other people within your organization, is that you're giving back. I think it's a really important piece.
When you bring up a really good point, you know, regardless of the role you're in, I remember running a networking group recently where there were a lot of people, happened to be women in CEO roles or COO roles, who had never been through, let's say, no one had been through the pandemic like we had, but even a market downturn. So tried to find a way to help them with resources and other people to support them. Because to your point, we always need mentors. We always need help. And it doesn't matter if it's formal or informal. You really need to just be open to asking and getting the help and realizing that regardless of the role you're in, you can always learn from someone else. And to your point, you can certainly give back to other people as well. And we're fortunate we're in an industry. ASA has a wonderful mentoring program that I've been part of for the past few years and have really enjoyed that quite a bit. Samira Al-Mohammed from your company.
Yes.
General Counsel was one of my mentees in the program, built a great friendship from it. And really it was, I would say, more of a peer mentorship than anything. And you really can grow and learn from each other. So there are some formal programs. And then of course, it's just informally too. If you see a leader who you really admire or know someone, all you have to do is ask and likely they'll say yes to give back. So it's one thing to have a mentor or a sponsor and really kind of find the time to do that. But also keeping up with your network can be really tricky, especially if you're moving a lot or rising up the ranks. And oftentimes what we find is people have a really strong network within the company they're with, especially, Sunny, if you're at a company like a Manpower or an S3, like really big companies, it's easy to build that network over time internally. If you've read the book, How Women Rise, one of the key traits coming out of it that women fall into is that we don't leverage our relationships. It's actually the fourth habit in the book that holds women back. How do you not only build a really strong network, but take advantage of it? What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting one. I think you have to show you authentically care. I think staying active in your network is something that is very important. It's something I personally learned throughout my career. And I think even taking a bit of a career break, I learned how important that was and staying authentically connected to your network, whether you're transitioning your career and looking for a new opportunity or you're in a great position and working in a great company and happy, you need to stay active in your network on either side of that fence. Showing that you authentically care and you're not just plugging in for a particular reason, showing gratitude along the way, that's a really, really important piece. But I think leveraging that network is a really critical one. And there's an incredible deal of support. You know, ask for introductions. That's a big one a lot of women don't do. You might not know someone, but typically it's that 6 degrees of separation. Our industry, it's typically 2 degrees, literally. Someone knows someone. I mean, Leslie, you're a great example of that. I've met several people that I've wanted to meet that you knew of or vice versa. So I find when you do look to activate or leverage that network that people really do want to help, you'll be quite surprised.
I agree. You have to ask the question. And to your point, you will run into people who are very one-sided with it and not showing a whole lot of gratitude. And you need to know when to kind of separate yourself from those relationships because you can get sucked in completely. And it needs to feel really good on both sides, but it is extraordinarily important. And, you know, if you take the time to go to industry conferences or attend events, whatever it may be, you can easily set up coffee meetings, lunches, just sitting next to people during events and find great ways to connect with people. Great thing to do. I'm going to switch gears here for a second on you and talk a little bit about adversity. So there's a saying, you can look at your past and see a line of mistakes, or you can look at your past and see all the adversity you've overcome. In fact, Einstein once said that adversity introduces you to yourself. I personally have found this to be profoundly true, especially every time I've braved something new. So Sunny, my question for you is, while on the rise professionally, tell us about any stories of resilience in the face of adversity.
Yeah, I would say there's been quite a few stories. I would say probably one of the ones I would think of most recently was I left an organization to join a really fast-growing organization. And had to make a kind of personal decision to step out of the position and to take a bit of a career break to really help with a loved one. And I would not say it was adversity, although it was definitely a personal challenge that I didn't plan for, my family didn't plan for. But, you know, I was at a point in my life where I knew I could probably take a bit of a career break and never anticipated or saw myself doing that. I've pretty much been working nonstop since the age of 16 and have been on a fairly direct career path in terms of what I wanted to achieve. But it was a point in my life where I knew it was the right thing to do for myself, the right thing to do for my family. And it gave me the time that I needed with my family to really work through some difficult challenges that we were going through personally. And I think it also gave me the time to really reflect back on where do I go and take my career next. And honestly, I had a point during all of that where I thought, I'm maybe going to go a different path. I'm going to go into a different sector or industry. And I kept being drawn back into, I think, the recruitment business. You know, my network is definitely here. I have such a great deal of passion and love for it. And had a very long conversation with my mother about it one evening. And she's like, you know, this is what you know, and you love it. And it's people. And it's so, it's your story. And it's what you've been involved in for so many years. And you have such a long runway ahead of you still to have an impact with any organization you go into. And so it was just a really pivotal point in my life and a really pivotal conversation through some great deal of adversity that I was able to look on the other side and know, okay, yep, I've got a few more years. I want to continue being a part of this great industry and coming back into it. And like I said, when I stepped out, there was a little bit of that moment of, oh, like any woman or any individual have, but I think women in particular, regardless of its children, or aging parents, or, you know, whatever it might be, we tend to be the ones that take a little bit of that career break. And we've been seeing that with the pandemic, unfortunately, the disproportionate effect on women with this that's been happening. But regardless of what level you're at and what success you've had, you pause and go, oh gosh, this is going to take me out of the game. And there was a moment of that. And I would say probably a few months after I stepped out, there was a few moments of, oh goodness, but I kept my head kind of on where it needed to be on that particular point in my life. And I was confident in my ability and I kept my network very, very much in touch. And when I was ready to re-enter, a great opportunity came along. And I really had a good ability to be able to assess the opportunity and make the right decision for me as well. I think you just have to sometimes go through those twists and turns in life to learn. They're not always fun. They're sometimes painful. There are a lot of questions that you don't have answers to, but having that confidence in your ability and continue to reach out to your network and ask for help along the way.
Well, and I love, Sunny, when you came back and were ready to go. I know you and I had a few conversations and I really respect and appreciate that even at that moment, you trusted so much in yourself and your abilities that you didn't just accept any role. You really went for it. And now you landed the president role at S3. And some people could have panicked and worried about taking time off and coming back. But at least on the outside, you weren't showing that. And it showed a great deal of confidence with you yourself personally. I bet a lot of people would love to dig into that deeper. So you may get some outreach on that just so that you understand, because not everyone will do what you did. Ultimately, it wasn't something that you necessarily wanted to do, but in doing it, it gave you some power of making the right choice and decision for yourself, which is great.
Yeah. And listen, not everyone has the ability to do that, to take that career break. I was very, very fortunate. And I still feel incredibly fortunate with the life that I have and what's been given to me. I've worked hard, but not everyone has that ability to take that pause. And it's tough. But I think if you have the ability to do that, just be confident in your abilities to reset and to come back in when it's ready for you.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. So before we call this podcast over, I'd like to wrap up with a few rapid fire questions for you. So here we go. Are you ready?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. What was the turning point that changed your life forever?
I think just coming off the heels of the last question, probably caring for my mother part of 2019 and 2020 and taking that break in my career.
Okay. Best piece of advice you ever received?
I love this one. I still believe it today. Celebrate the imperfect successes. There's a lot of things you can learn from that.
Yes, I agree. If you're not learning, you're not growing is what we say when there's an imperfect success. One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
I've been reading this idea of this extroverted introvert. I think they call it ambiverts. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly or not, but I read about that. And I go, oh, that's me. And I have smaller groups of really close friends and networks. I like sometimes intimate gatherings versus big groups. I love being alone. at times, but also at times I get lonely. So I'm a little bit of an extrovert and introvert. I think people would be surprised, but I think they would think I'm more extroverted. I definitely have moments of that, but I definitely love my alone time. Ask my husband. Plenty of time. I'm like, I need alone time right now, hubby.
I think we make a lot of assumptions of people in the C-suite and leadership roles that they all must be extroverts, especially when you're running a company. But at the end of the day, to your point, you within your company feel great and are probably not very introverted. I think it's a more common trait than we realize. Honey, I am so grateful that you decided to join us on the Edge podcast. You have given us all a lot to think about, and I'm sure people would love to learn more. So for those listening, what's the best way to connect with you?
Sure. I would say you can reach me on LinkedIn. It's Sunny Ackerman.
Excellent. Thank you again, Sunny.
Thank you, Leslie. It's been my pleasure. Really enjoy your series. Thank you for doing these.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that coming from you.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest, or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.